1 Corinthians chapter 6 is where we will begin this afternoon. We are continuing our study of God's answers to our problems. We realize that there are so many times these sins that do so easily beset us. And we want to look specifically, and of course, this is kind of broad in its scope, but we want to learn from that, and we want to discuss about addictions this afternoon. So let's read 2 Corinthians 6, and it's not 2 Corinthians, it must be 1 Corinthians, my apologies. 1 Corinthians 6, and verse 12, it says, "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your mercy to us, Lord. We thank you for your great salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you that we can be free through him. And we just pray you would help us to understand this practically in our lives, Lord, things that we struggle with, Lord, that you can help us to lay them aside. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And it is some that it is kind of painting perhaps with a broad brush, but I think in some ways we all have addictions to one thing or another through life, that we have these sins that do so easily beset us, these places of weakness, our Achilles heel, this area in which the devil seems to get an advantage over us again and again. And when it comes to addictions, sadly, so often we compare ourselves among ourselves, as it speaks of in 2 Corinthians 10. In verse 12 it says, 2 Corinthians 10, 12, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but that they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise." That it is human nature that certainly someone, a big challenge sometimes is when you're trying to share the gospel, show someone their need of a Savior, and they say, "Well, I'm not as bad as this person." And so they think that they're okay, that they compare themselves with someone that's as bad as they can think of, and they're not that bad, so we must be okay. That I think with many people, they figure that kind of the separation between those that go to heaven and those that go to hell is just kind of right behind them, that they just kind of make it in by the skin of their teeth. But we realize with salvation, it doesn't work that way, that all of us are sinners, all of us are equally condemned, all of us have to come to Christ alone for our salvation. And we see in this instance, when we have a problem with an addiction, problem with sin, that so often we think, well, it might be an addiction, but it's not. It's anything serious. It's not as bad as these other ones. We think of someone that's addicted to alcohol, that it ruins their life, it ruins their family, they can't keep a job, that it has such a power over them. We think of a drug addict, of someone that's shooting up with dirty needles, that's getting themselves infected just because they're so desperate for a high, ones that lead to a life of petty theft, just trying to get some money so that they can have more drugs. How sad that is. We think also of someone with a gambling addiction, we see them at the VLT, that they're just pushing money in again and again, and just how wasteful that is. I know my brother had a roommate of his that he had trouble with it for a while, and he came home so dejected the one time, and Kirk asked him, "Well, what happened?" He said, "Well, I lost $500 and he ended up talking with him, and here what happened is he'd been playing for a bit and he actually won several hundred dollars, but then he put that into the machine and then lost $500 besides that." And it was just so sad, and we see that. And we think of many other different things that we look at. We see it's destructive. We see it's kind of a disgusting thing. Why would they carry on with that? And it's something that we could thinking to ourselves, well, we're not susceptible to these, but we are susceptible to others. And sometimes it may not be as ugly, but we're under its power just the same. We can be addicted to many things that perhaps in and of themselves, they may not be an evil thing, but if they get out of balance in our life, if they become an idol to us, that we begin to serve them and give in to them just to make it through the day, just that we depend on them rather than on God to satisfy our longings. This can be with food, this can be with internet or television, with whether it be exercise or sports, or some are addicted to work, that's how they get just a feeling of worth, is they have to be doing something. And there's all these different things that we can get out of balance, that we can become addicted to. It can affect our health. It can make us less able to serve God. And it can become our priority, and in so doing, it takes away from these things which should be our priorities. Things like our quiet time with the Lord, things like our time with our family, our time with God's people, that all these things, we find that as this gets a power over us, it can take away from what's most important in our life. And we don't realize it sometimes until it's too late, until we look back and we realize what we've lost in our pursuit of this thing that we thought was so important. And when we think of an addiction, and we say, well, do I have an addiction? Is this something that is controlling me? We need to ask a couple things. And we see it from this passage in 1 Corinthians 12. It says, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. And so we need to ask, first of all, is it expedient? Expedient is the idea that it carries something along at a quicker pace, that if someone was to send something express post, it's to get it there faster. We try to move something expeditiously. It's to speed it up. And so it's the idea, is this that I'm doing, is it profitable? Is it edifying? Is it helping me to become Christ-like? Is it leading me closer to pressing towards the mark? Or is it getting in the way? Is it causing me to stumble on my path to Christ-likeness? That we realize that if this thing is a hindrance to my walk with the Lord, and not a help, then it must be cast aside. And secondly, we think it says, I will not be brought under the power of any. That we ask ourselves, am I under its power? Do I control it, or does it control me? Can I function without it? And it's something that we have to examine. I know one gentleman that I knew, a guy asked him, well, he thought, well, you must be addicted to coffee because he drank a lot. But so he said, well, I'm going to see if that's the case. And so he went for several days without coffee, and he found he could take it or leave it. It wasn't, he liked the taste of it, but he didn't need it. But then I've known others that they've drunk it so much that it's, that of course the caffeine doesn't have the effect that it does anymore, and so they have to do more and more, and to the point that they can't even sleep at night because their system is all out of whack because there's too much caffeine. And so we realize that these things can happen. And so we want to judge ourselves. We want to be honest with ourselves. And sometimes the realization of it hurts. I remember one fellow, this was many years ago, but this was kind of just as he was getting saved, and it was, he drank some, and people told him, well, you have a problem with it, and he said, well, I don't think I do. I can take it or leave it. It doesn't have power over me. But then, one day after work, he went and picked up a bottle, and he drove off somewhere, and he was by himself and just drank himself drunk within his own vehicle. And when he came to, he realized, yes, I do have a problem with this. This is not something that I can control. He needed to get it out of his life completely. And so when we examine addictions, when we look at it in our life, when we examine ourselves, and the Holy Spirit shows us these things, that this has power over me, this is controlling me, this is causing me to do things I don't want to do, this is causing me to miss out on what's really important. We want to ask ourselves, well, how did I get here? What brought me to this point? And sadly, sometimes we look at science and other things for an answer, but sometimes they say, well, it's genetics. It's like you're born this way, your parents were this way, and so you have to suffer through it. That this is not something that you can really see an end to. And I think that is something that the devil wants us to be convinced, that where we are, that it's not something that we can get out of, that we're stuck in it, we had no hope. And the Lord wants to give us hope, and we have hope through the Lord Jesus. And it's something we understand. Well, how do I get into a position of addiction? We recognize that we're sinners by birth and by choice, that we inherit the sin nature from our Father, that we're sinners because we sin, but we're sinners because that's our very nature, that it's our tendency to turn away, to seek after things. And we recognize that God gives us warning through His Scriptures, don't do these things, that we have it set out, even in the laws of our nation, different things, that this is not something that's good, this is something to be avoided. But we recognize so often in terms of addiction that the chain that binds us was forged by our own hands, chain by chain and yard by yard, that it happens because of the choices we make, that we dig ourselves a deep hole. I was going to bring us some string along for an object lesson with the kids, but it was something that I remember seeing when I was younger, that the thought with sin, how it binds us. And if someone was to put a thread around your wrists and tie it, if it was just a single thread, that it's so easy to break. And the thought that if we do something wrong, but then we confess it and forsake it, then it's easier to cease doing that. But each time we sin, and if it's not confessed and forsaken, the thread gets wrapped around, and we come to a point where it binds us, and it's exceedingly hard for us to break free of that. And we understand that even in the study that has been done of the human brain, of what are called synapses, that when we make a decision, when we commit some certain course of action, that it develops a pathway in our brain. That if it's done only one time, that it is not that strong. But if it is done over and over and again, it becomes stronger and stronger. And so often what happens if we're addicted in something, that this can be one single thing that sets it off, and we find ourselves much further along than we expected. But it's because that pathway has been established. It's just our mind just automatically roots to that behavior. And we realize that we reap what we sow. If we sow to the flesh, we shall of the flesh reap corruption. If we sow to the Spirit, we shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. If we sow to sin, if we give into it, it has power over us. The more we give into it, the stronger it becomes. And it's something that we have to realize, that it is best for us to break it as quickly as possible before it gets even worse. And that's something, especially with, I know as we raise our children, that as we see different bad behavior within them, that it's something that we realize we have to try to nip it in the bud when they're young, because we don't want it to get established in their lives when they're old. And it'll be to their detriment. We see, this is in Ecclesiastes 8 and verse 11. Ecclesiastes 8 and verse 11, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. And we understand that in life, that if people get away with something, it makes them settled in doing that. I remember with my dad, there was one time he always, he kept, whenever he came home from work, he'd empty his pockets out on the bathroom cupboard, and he'd always have lots of change there. And when I was a little boy, I thought, well, I'd like to put that in my piggy bank. And so I had a magnet, and so I picked up as many of these quarters as I could, and I thought I was so funny. And of course, I did it in full view of my father, which was certainly not a wise start to my life of crime. But it was something. I went to my room, and my dad followed me. He didn't say anything, and he waited until I put them into my piggy bank, and then he gave me a spanking. And it was something that I appreciate, that because it was the thought that the sentence was executed speedily. He this was wrong. I had to be corrected from it. And so because of that, I learned quite quickly that you don't take something that's not yours. And that is something that we realize, that when we do something wrong, that we need to confess it and forsake it immediately. That if we don't, that it becomes harder to break that habit. That someone said, if we sow a thought, we reap an action. If we sow an action, we reap a habit. If we sow a habit, we reap a life. And if we sow a life, we reap an eternity for that. That we must be careful, the choices we make, that we realize we are responsible. If we get ourselves into a situation, that we are responsible, that it isn't anyone else's fault but our own. So then we say, okay, well, I realize I'm at fault. How do I get out of this mess that I got myself into? And that's something that we realize, that as sinners, that there is no one else that we have to blame. No one else bears the responsibility for our sins but ourselves. That the source of our problem is us. But yet we realize that the source of our solution is not within us. That we don't have that power in and of ourselves to do it. Sometimes we think, well, I just need willpower to do this. But we realize as sinners that our will is part of the problem. That it's cursed. It's bent towards evil. And we find that so often we're fighting our own will. Sometimes we think, well, if I establish different rules, different safeguards to my life, it'll prevent me from falling into this, from having it have power over me. And we realize that works up to a point. It works for a time, but it doesn't solve the problem. It just prolongs it. I remember when I was younger, I got some candy, I think it was for Christmas, and I didn't want to eat it all at one time because I wanted to kind of savor it, but I knew my own willpower in that situation was not that strong. And so I had this idea, well, what I'll do is I'll hide it in various places in my room, and that'll kind of keep me from going at it so fast. But of course the problem was is I hid them, so I knew where they all were. And so when I got a craving, then I just went from place to place and ate all of them. And it's the way it is sometimes. We think, well, I'll put all these barriers in the way in my own physical wisdom, my own physical strength, and this will protect me. And it works for a time, but we realize if that sin nature isn't gotten a hold of, if it isn't taken care of, then it'll break down every barrier we put in its way to take that again. And so we realize that the source of our solution to our problem is not found in our own hands, in our own wisdom. It's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. You turn with me to John chapter 8. John chapter 8 and verse 31, it says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." that we realize that, as Jesus said, that we can be made free. And we see they didn't understand what he said. Verse 33, they answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." And that is a truth that we need to grab hold of, that in the Lord Jesus Christ we can be made free, that whatever shackles we may have bound ourselves with, that He has the power to free us from those. That we realize it is not our own strength or power that brings it is His grace that He gives to us by faith, that we have the ability to stand free before Him. If you turn with me to Romans chapter 5, Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." That our salvation is by grace through faith, that it comes by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's because of what Christ did on the cross, as we have faith in that, that we have access to this grace. We can come to the Father and get the grace to help in time of need. That when our stubborn and corrupt will is again and again giving in to sin, that we realize He can give us this grace. That even though this synapse, this pathway has been developed in our mind, and we're hardwired, it seems, to doing wrong, and we can't seem to break it, that suddenly we can find that as He gives us this grace, that we have victory, that we can break that synapse, we can develop a new pathway in our mind. And we see that as we put our faith in Him, we stake our lives on what He says, we can have this liberty in Christ. And so we want to see briefly, just if you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, we want to see, as a Christian, how do I overcome this thing that is addicting to me, this thing that is not a that has power over me, that I want to bring into subjection. It says, Ephesians 4 and verse 22, it says that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And so if we are to overcome this addiction, we must put the old man to death. We must put him away, take him off, that we don't wear him anymore. Someone has said that the first thing you got to do to get out of a hole is stop digging. And that's, we understand that we keep adding to it, it's only going to get worse. I know we're talking to Alicia a bit, as she just got saved last year, and we're trying to teach her how to live the Christian life a bit, and we explained to her she has a sin nature, and it's kind of like the black dog, and we have a new nature in Christ, it's a white dog, and if you feed the black dog, the old nature, it's going to get stronger. But you need to starve it out. You need to cease from giving into it. And so we realize that is what we must do, that we must put it to death, that it must not have power over us anymore. We see in Romans chapter 6 how it speaks of this, and we see the understanding that our picture of our baptism, that when we're baptized, that it is a picture of what has happened and in our new life in Christ that we have been given. It says in Romans 6 verse 4, it says, "Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, and the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin." And that thought that if we are dead, this part of us that has so much power, that it has been crucified in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we do not need to allow sin to have reign in our mortal body, but we can be free of it, that we can yield our members now unto righteousness, that we were the servants of sin once, but He has delivered us from that, that we now can be the servants of righteousness. And so we understand that we put it to death, that we understand in Christ that it has already happened, and we need to reckon it to be so. It's something we realize. We put Him to death, and it seems each morning that old man seems to resurrect himself and seem to come back again. But each day we need to put Him to death once more. As Paul spoke, he said that I die daily. That idea that each day that we make this our pattern, as we're developing this new synapse within our mind, this new pathway, that we put off the old man, that everything that its thoughts, its ways, we don't want anything to do with it anymore. And then we see what it said, not only do we put off the old man, but we be renewed within the spirit of our minds. That we get into the Word, we get our thinking changed. We don't get into the trap of the devil's thinking, where he says, well, you can't have victory in this, you're always going to suffer from this. Instead, we see, no, the Lord says, you can be free. That our minds are changed. And we see that we need to have a new mind. In Romans chapter 8, it says, verse 6 of Romans 8, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." That thought that if we are in our flesh, if we still have that carnal mind within us, then we're going to continue into this path of death. But we realize if we're in the Spirit, if we allow the Holy Spirit to change our thinking, to fill us, to show us that God has so much more to offer us than this thing, then our minds are renewed. And we see in Romans 12, verse 2, it says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." That we would allow ourselves to be transformed, that our minds would be renewed by the Holy Spirit, that He would wash it, He would cleanse it, He would make it new once more. And then we realize that, as it says thoroughly, that we are to put on the new man, that so often what happens is we have an addiction, we try to get rid of it in our lives, but what our problem so often is we don't replace it with anything. And sometimes what happens is we just get another addiction, or we just go back to the same thing. It's something you can see with many people that have given up smoking, that then they have a problem of gaining weight afterwards, and the reason is because they have to do something with their hands, and so they figure, well, I'll just eat or something, and it makes it easier. And so it's the idea that we need to do something different. We need to, if we don't make a new pathway, we got to bring it right to its end. If we just stop off one but don't start anything else, then what'll happen is we just will continue to go back to another addiction. And so we do that. We have a new nature. As it says in Ephesians 4 there, that this put on the new man which is created in righteousness and true holiness. That if we are in Christ, we are a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That sin does not have to have dominion over us. That we are cleansed, we are purified, we are washed from all of this, and it doesn't have to have power over us anymore. And so that is what we do day by day, that we make that our pattern, that we gain victory, that it speaks that we are to bring our bodies under subjection. It says in 1 Corinthians 9, And verse 24, 1 Corinthians 9:24, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we are incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest it by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." That even Paul, that he had this thought, that he would bring his body under subjection, that he would not allow his flesh to control him, that he would control his sin nature, that he would not allow anything to become, to get in the way of his walk with the Lord. It speaks in 2 Corinthians 10:5 about casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And that's what we want to work with as we seek to eradicate this addiction in our life, that we might be able to stop the action for a time, but we're not concerned with just stopping the action. We want to root out every little shred of it, so there's nothing left, so that it will never spring up again. That we cut it down to the roots, and then we drill holes in the stump and pour poison down it. We don't want it to come back. That we are very persistent in it, that we want it to have no longer a part in us. And it's that thought that if we have this, that we have pursued with such zeal, with such fervor, that it's had such power, that we need to replace it with something else. And we see, in, if you turn with me to 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 15, and this is actually the only place in the Scriptures, if you're looking for the words of addiction or addicted or anything, that this is the only verse it's actually found into. And this is a good addiction. It says, 1 Corinthians 16:15, "I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints." That this is something that, an addiction that is something good, where we're that, and that's a thought, the same zeal that we followed after this addiction in our life, that it became an idol to us, that we worshipped it, we gave it so much of our time and our money and everything else, that now we focus that on the things of God, on serving Him, on ministering to the saints, that is what the Lord wants for us, that we realize that as we lay these things aside and we run the race with patience that the Lord has set before us, that we will see that there is so much more to life, and we will realize truly that we can be made free indeed through the Lord Jesus Christ and through His grace because of what He did for us on the cross. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You once again for the liberty that we have through the shedding of Your blood, Lord, on the cross of Calvary, through Your resurrection, Lord, and that even death does not have power over us. We pray, Lord, that You would help us in these areas, Lord, and even reveal them to us, Lord, where we may not think we have a problem. Help us to see them, and just give us victory, Lord, that we may glorify You. We can give testimony of how we were bound and shackled by sin, but then You delivered us from that. We just pray, Lord, that You would bless us throughout the remainder of this week. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, let's turn to one more hymn, number 202, and we'll sing "My Redeemer." Hymn 202.